If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now everything's on sale during our Memorial Day event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses for a limited time. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.
Welcome to Bollywood for Lovers, part of the Alberta Podcast Network, locally grown, community supported. I'm Erin Fraser.
And I'm Matt Bowes. In this episode, we are discussing two 1993 thrillers in which our favorite romantic hero, Shah Rukh Khan, plays a villain.
First up, Khan vows revenge on Kajol and Shilpa Shetty's father in Abbas Mustan's Bazigar.
Then he is capital O obsessed with Juhi Chawla in Yash Chopra's Dar.
Before we begin, we would like to respectfully acknowledge that we record this podcast on Treaty 6 territory, home to First Nations and Métis people.
Not only is he Kajol and Shilpa Shetty's father in Bazigar, then that guy is his dad in Dar.
Yes.
He's the link. Every time that guy shows up in a movie, Shahrukh, bad.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, not a bad actor.
No. Bad person.
But yes, and that's Dalip Tahil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's
not just that guy. He has a name.
He's the signal that, watch out, your hero is going to be bad.
Well, these two films are interesting. We have been wanting to discuss both of them for years.
Because they've been on our vision board for a long time.
They have been. These are the films that essentially helped Shah Rukh Khan make that transition from TV actor to superstar.
Mm-hmm.
Like, these are his kind of career breakthroughs that would then launch the King Kong that we know today. 2 years after these films, DDLJ comes out. And need we say more?
And nothing was ever the same.
Yeah. And they're interesting. They're very interesting roles.
They're both really good movies, too.
They're both very good. And he's very good in both of them.
Mm-hmm.
But this was a risky move. And it was interesting kind of reading up on both of these films. And both of these performances were offered to kind of every major young star at the time. You know, they were offered to Aamir Khan, who it seems came really close to playing Rahul in Dar, Salman Khan, Akshay Kumar, Anil Kapoor, et cetera.
Anil Kapoor might have been a bit old.
Yeah. I think with Anil Kapoor potentially doing Dar, I think from what I read, at one point Sri Devi was supposed to do Dar as well.
And she's a bit closer in age.
Yeah. And also they had done
Chandani
and Lamhae.
Kind of thing.
With Yash Chopra. So it just seems like everyone turned these roles down because they were too villainous. They were
then an unknown hero.
Not heroic enough. And Shah Rukh Khan takes the leap and then look at what happens to his career.
I think he usually picks interesting roles.
I think so too. And I think, I was thinking about this. There is a darkness to Shah Rukh Khan. I think there's a darkness to some of his best performances. I think that's why Devdas is so fantastic. Because I think he, you know, he plays this cutie romantic hero often. But there's often
he's a little obsessive.
An edge to him.
Yeah.
That I think kind of makes him seem like, yeah, you can take him home to mom, but he's still a bit of a bad boy.
These are his Sarah Michelle Gellar movies.
Oh my god!
I laid out this theory earlier.
Okay.
He's moving from TV and trying to, you know, make his image a bit darker.
Right.
She goes from Buffy into Cruel Intentions.
Right, and she doesn't take the Reese Witherspoon role. She takes Catherine.
Yeah, so she's the mean girl.
Yeah, who wants to sleep with her stepbrother.
Yeah, dangerous liaisons.
Yeah.
But it didn't really go anywhere for her. She gets Scooby-Doo later, but she doesn't become one of the biggest stars in the whole world.
No, I mean, I think she's, I mean, not that I want to turn this podcast to being about Sarah Michelle Gellar. At one point,
She was also going to be in Dar?
No, I really...
That would have been crazy.
I really wanted to launch a podcast reviewing celebrity cookbooks.
Yeah.
And both she and Freddie Prinze Jr. Have cookbooks. They seem like legitimate, like, a cute celebrity couple. But
Did they just like each other and decided, well, we'll just settle down. This is fine. We're very rich.
Well, I think they make a lot of money, like, with her... She's got, like, some sort of, like, how to make cupcakes or cakes in mugs in the microwave. I think that makes money.
And probably Buffy baking royalties kits. And stuff, too.
And then...
Freddie Prinze Jr.
He does WWE stuff, I think.
Oh, anyways. Interesting. He's in a lot of video games, too.
Yeah, he does a lot of voice acting,
too. He's been in BioWare video games, right?
Yeah. Anyways. They seem cute.
Yeah.
Let me know
if she never became the Shah Rukh Khan of North America.
No,
there was a period there where it could have happened.
Also, like, Shah Rukh Khan did this years before
her. Yeah.
So,
but, like, he was in Fauji, like, his TV show, he was apparently, yes. like, every mother's favorite character.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he was literally the guy you bring home to mom.
Yeah.
And then he does these to be kind dimples. Of more of a badass. And he is a badass.
And it's smart. And I think, like...
Maybe not a badass, but, like, he's bad. Like, he's bad news.
Yeah. Yeah, these are not boys you want to take home to mom.
No,
these are boys with an edge. But
they're boys who are in your bedroom already, and you're calling from inside the house. The phone calls inside the house.
We've seen a lot of Shah Rukh Khan films over the course of doing this podcast.
Mostly older though.
Him
being older. These are some of the earliest in his career we've seen.
These are some of the early ones, but we've seen his work from the 90s all the way up till now. I mean, I wouldn't say necessarily that yes, we've. Haven't done an exhaustive deep dive the way we've been doing with Amitabh Bachchan.
That's what Khan Don is for.
And Neil Kapoor.
If you want that, watch that show. Listen to that podcast.
Exactly. They do that deep dive on the Khans. But we've seen many of them over the years. And do you agree with me that, like, he does kind of have that edge and that darkness? I think that's why people were so excited about Rais, even though I thought Rais was a bit disappointing.
Kind of a damp squib, but the idea was that he would be, like, a full-on badass. And he kind of still has, like, oh, he's... I think he's got something about his mother in that one, too. And he's a badass, but a badass with a heart of gold. And even Don in those movies...
Mm-hmm. Again, he's got a bit of an edge in those ones.
Well, he has to have an edge in those ones. Yeah. But, like, he's still kind of a nice guy.
Yeah.
Even though he is a crime lord.
Yeah, I struggle to think of...
Don 2, he's more of a badass.
Which
you never saw that
I still
one.
Haven't seen. I fell
you should
asleep.
Watch it. It was great.
I fell asleep really early on and you watched it without me.
It ruled.
Yeah, I didn't fall asleep because the movie was bad. I just fell asleep because I'm a sleepy panda sometimes. I struggle to think of a role that... Where the like where what happens to his character is as kind of... not tragic, because Devdas is certainly tragic... But where...
Bazinghar is tragic.
Where to... Yeah, that's true. And I do think Dar is tragic. But where, like, you're clearly not rooting for him. Like, you kind of can't be rooting for him.
Devdas, yeah.
I struggle to think of roles kind of other than these two films. Oh, yes. Fan is a film I thought a lot about. Yeah, No Fan's a really good example. I thought about Fan a lot while watching Dar.
And no other... reasons. None of the other Khans has done anything like that.
Yeah.
And I mean, Amir kind of plays around with his image in Secret Superstar. He kind of plays like, here's the douchey Bollywood guy I could be.
And he pokes fun at himself again in, like, Delhi Belly.
Yeah.
Like, he's willing to poke fun at himself. And,
but he's never going to be an obsessive fan of himself.
Yeah, I just, like, yeah. I don't know. It's very interesting. But going back to Fan... I'd be interested in revisiting it because I remember not being super impressed or excited about it when I saw it. And I think maybe I was a little too wrapped up in kind of the...
There's a lot of hype.
Yeah, the hype around, like, the makeup. And I think they were like, oh, he's using Brad Pitt's cheeks and stuff like that. But I'd like to go back and revisit it, having seen these films and kind of looking at Shah Rukh Khan doing this kind of thing.
And when he would have been roughly the same age as... His name was Arian in that movie? One of them was named Arian. But, like, the kid, he would roughly be about the same age in these ones.
Mm-hmm.
As he was in his kid version of Fan.
Yeah. So I guess before we get into it, any other overarching thoughts about Shah Rukh Khan? Again, we're experiencing his filmography
out of order.
So we're not kind of seeing that... that progression in the same way that we're doing a deep dive on Amitabh Bachchan and Anil Kapoor. Even though we've seen later stuff, we've kind of gone back and started to visit their careers chronologically. So we're seeing kind of an arc of the way it develops with Shah Rukh Khan, partly because he's still such a major star. Not that Amitabh Bachchan and Anil Kapoor aren't, but...
Hey, he's won 6 Filmfare Awards, as you'll remember, in AK versus AK.
Yes.
Yeah.
I remember.
Do not count AK out.
Not that they are not as big of stars, but I think just kind of because of Shah Rukh Khan's importance... to kind of 90s to contemporary Bollywood, like, again,
and because the way this podcast is structured. 2 books about him too, right?
Yes. I quite like Anupama Chopra's King of Bollywood. It's her biography of Shah Rukh Khan. It's over, maybe packed in a box. We are moving, so a lot of our books are packed in boxes.
I know I packed up New Kings of the World, so that's in a box.
Yes,
with a bunch of Playboys.
Yeah, but I do really recommend Shah Rukh Khan's biography by Anupama Chopra, King of Bollywood. I think it's both interesting if you're a fan of Shah Rukh Khan, but even if you're just a fan of Bollywood, because Shah Rukh Khan's career, you can kind of track the trends in Bollywood with Shah Rukh Khan's career.
Well, it's like what...
And she does a good job of kind of making links.
It's like what Debashree Mukherjee said about the struggle.
Mm.
Remember, she was talking about struggling, be a struggler. It's kind of that Mumbai person trying to get into the industry. And he was that. And he broke in. And many people have come up afterwards trying to do the same thing. I don't think he phones it in. Salman Khan phones it in.
Well,
Amir Khan, I don't think phones it in. But Shah Rukh is usually like, he's trying to go for it. He's always trying new things. And even if they don't work, you know, he's not pumping out 5 movies a year like Akshay Kumar, right? So
yeah, and again, I think that's an important observation because unlike some of the other stars who were offered these roles, he wasn't coming from an established filmy family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he'd broken into TV. He was making this transition to movies.
Like, he was literally a theater kid.
Yeah, he was literally a theater kid. These are not the first movies he did, but he was making that transition, and I think... as, you know, like, he was hungry for it, it seems. And so he was willing to take on these darker roles and really just,
because, like, he didn't care about his persona.
Yeah, and really just, like, act the fuck out of them.
Mm-hmm.
And...
maybe a little bit too much in Dar.
Yeah, I guess we'll get to that. Okay, so are you ready? Are we ready to discuss these two films?
Yeah.
He's
a pretty good actor, I'll say that.
We're doing them in chronological order, so we're going to go with the one that came out first, but they both came out
That's quite the year for him.
1993. Oh, yeah, and he had another film as well that I believe won the Critics' Best Film and Best Actor at
Not too
the
bad.
Filmfare Awards. I can't remember the title of it. I apologize. There's someone...
you'll put it in the links.
There's someone yelling at us.
Oh, there's always someone yelling at us.
But, yeah, 1993 was quite a... I mean, I think the 1990s was quite a time to be Shah Rukh Khan.
I mean, every day is probably pretty good.
So, Bazigar means gambler. As we said, it came out in 1993. It's directed by Abbas Mustan. It stars Shah Rukh Khan, Kajol, Shilpa Shetty. It was her debut. Raki Gulzar, Dalip Tahil, Siddharth Ray, and Johnny Lever, your favorite.
My favorite. Yeah, he's the guy that makes this movie... a 4-star, not a 4.5-star.
It's based somewhat, it's loosely based, I guess, on Ira Levin's A Kiss Before Dying. Are you familiar with Ira Levin, Matt? I thought you might be. He wrote books.
No, but I have a feeling that I'm going to become familiar with him right away here.
So in addition to A Kiss Before Dying, he wrote Rosemary's Baby, The Stepford Wives, and The Boys from Brazil.
So all of kind which... of like a big 70s guy then.
Yeah, I guess Before Dying is from 1953, but
holy cow.
All of those novels became films later
60s,
on.
70s, yeah.
And relatively memorable films. I would say A Kiss Before Dying is probably the least memorable film of them all.
Yeah.
The one I haven't seen, for example.
Hard to remember if you haven't seen it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a film that came out in the 90s. I think it's Mark Wahlberg.
Sounds like the kind of the heyday of erotic thrillers.
Yeah.
Because you could skew this a lot more erotically if you were doing it Hollywood style.
Yes. And I think, from what I understand, like I said, I haven't seen it. There was a 56 film as well. Sorry, it's Matt Dillon. Matt Dillon and Sean Young. I think Mark.
Sean Young, interesting.
I think Mark Wahlberg is Fear.
Oh, yeah.
Which is what Dar means. Anyways, I haven't seen A Kiss Before Dying or read it.
Matt Dillon, huh?
But I, from what I understand, here, Shah Rukh Khan's character is given more of a sympathetic motivation than he has in the original.
Well, yeah, he definitely has a pretty sympathetic backstory in this one. It'd be tough to... It's pretty Bollywoodized, I'll say.
Yeah. But the 90s are like, 90s Hollywood, that perfect kind of trashy neo-noir moment. I wonder if it's good. Maybe we should watch it.
You should maybe bring it up on your other podcast.
I liked this. As we mentioned, this was Shah Rukh Khan's breakthrough. It was also Kajol's first big hit and Shilpa Shetty's debut.
Wow.
It was a huge hit at the box office. It was the fourth highest grossing film of 1993.
Nice.
And it was nominated for 10 Filmfare Awards, including Best Film, Best Supporting Actress, Best Comic Actor, and it won four, including Best Actor for Shah Rukh Khan.
Nice.
And Best Screenplay.
Nice.
Do you want to set us up with the plot?
Sure. Actually, both of these movies, we watched on Amazon. Hate Amazon.
Yeah.
Stupid Jeff Bezos.
They looked great, though.
Stupid Jeff Bezos kind of apparently went to space today, even though I don't think he went technically into space. But anyway, we used his stupid service that always... The movies looked really good. And there is a kind of a downside with Amazon. We don't necessarily know if it's the entire cut. But these ones seem to be about the running time we were looking for.
Well, okay. You're saying that because we encountered that with Love Story 2050.
And Kaladi.
Right. But yeah, this was good.
Yeah. It seemed like it was the right time. But what I was saying is that both of these movies definitely start like in medias res.
Mm-hmm.
So in Bazigar, we get a kind of waifish little kid who's taking care of his sick mother. And, you know, lots of bad stuff happens. And he kind of pulls through a photo book and throws a bunch of things in the air and says, like, I will get my revenge. You're like, oh, I wonder where this is going. And yeah, that kid grows up to be Shah Rukh Khan. He begins romancing the daughters of Dalip Tahil, who we found out is kind of an industrialist who has a bunch of different industries that are all named after his last name. So it's like Sharma Rice, Sharma Textiles, Sharma this, Sharma that. And Shilpa Shetty is a... I guess they're both college students. I think Kajol might have graduated already. But she's a college student who has a boyfriend, kind of a bookish guy. And that's Shah Rukh Khan with glasses on. Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't want to like meet her sister, doesn't want to meet any of her other friends.
Doesn't want to go to a party.
Doesn't want to go to a party. He just kind of taps on the window.
Yeah. He's kind of like a shy, bookish guy.
So she thinks.
And in kind of... something that would be extremely problematic to happen in a movie now. They decide that they're going to kill themselves and write suicide notes.
Yeah.
And that this is kind of like a purity test for him.
It feels very Heathers.
Yeah.
That moment, like, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but in that moment I was like, oh, Shah Rukh Khan's really channeling like his Christian Slater here.
Actually, I would say through the whole movie, he's kind of like that kind of angry young guy.
Yeah.
Almost as if there's a whole genre in Bollywood devoted to this. But he extracts a suicide note from Shilpa Shetty, who is kind of a blithe dumbass the whole movie, and takes her to a building where I believe that you can get married in. There's like a marriage office. It's not City Hall, but it's like there's like a office you can go to. And pushes her off the top of the building. What?
Bit of a spoiler, but it's for a movie that...
It is a famous scene, though.
Yeah, it's famous. I'm going to assume most people are familiar with this film. And if not, there's still another, like, hour and a half to go of this film.
Yeah. He mails the suicide note to the cops, I think. I don't even think he mails it to the dad. And there's a cop guy who's also trying to figure out what's going on. Meanwhile, in his other role as Vicky Malhotra, I think his name is, he challenges Kajol and Shilpa Shetty's dad to not quite an F1 racing, but like the next couple levels down. That sort of car, though.
Some sort of car race.
And he deliberately loses so that he can get into their dad's good graces and also kind of start romancing Kajol. And I think that he actually does end up loving Kajol by the end of the movie, and it becomes a bit more difficult for him to get his revenge. What do you think?
Uh,
It's not all fake. He totally was fake as Shilpa Shetty, but I think he actually does legit like Cadgel, or maybe I fell to his spell too. I don't know.
I do think, well, because...
She's a bit smarter.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that, yeah, that there starts to be kind of more chemistry. Like, you're supposed to buy more into the idea of a romance between Shower Crown and Cadgel, which is part of why it leads to that kind of tragic ending.
Mm-hmm. Which we won't get into.
So, yeah, I think... And also, I think, like, the duplicity you start to see kind of hit it eating away at him.
Yeah, he has to murder 3 or 4 people
yeah.
to cover his tracks. And I felt that the movie tracks. Kind of verged on giallo at some points. Especially, he goes to kill a photographer,
mm-hmm.
and he's got, like, the red light in his room, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the lighting in that scene, and kind of the way that people get, like, hanged... It reminded me of something like Suspiria, mm-hmm. where it's not mystical or anything, but it is sort of like shock and, you know, someone wearing leather gloves, strangling people. I think there might have been a little bit of that. In Dar, there's some parts that are done either in first person through his eyes, where you're creepily watching somebody.
That feels very giallo. And in both of these films... Blood is just red paint.
Yeah.
Just so much.
Just like an Italian movie.
So much red house paint that it's hard not to think of Italian cinema of a certain era.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of influences here, apart from just Ira Levin. Like, there's a lot going on here, and it's a great movie.
It is a great movie, yeah.
I love a revenge movie.
I really like it. I think... I guess before we get to the shower con of it all, I think Shilpa Shetty is wonderful as
she's
this,
very cute.
As this naive sister that he toys with. Mm-hmm. I think she's great. She has a lot of fantastic costumes. She kind of sticks out as more of the like popular bubblier sister.
Yeah, because Cadgel left town. I think she went to Shimla.
Yeah, she's off at school.
Yeah, so she Tumstown. But she went to a different school, and their mother is not in the picture anymore.
Yeah.
So Shilpa Shetty stayed home, has lots of friends there. Cadgel is kind of an outsider and hangs out with her family.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I guess we need to mention Johnny Lever now. Okay.
And the Cadgel half is also, it's more about kind of, yeah, that building up the suspense. Of
yeah. Like, is she going to find out?
Is she going to find out? Cadgel's wondering why all these people around her are dying or committing suicide or getting murdered. You know, she has this old flame that still is a thing for her, this cop friend of hers.
Yeah.
So, like, they're really building up more of the suspense there. Whereas I feel like kind of in the first half of the film, they're really kind of, I think, setting up... Like, you're always aware that he's a bad guy and he's playing both of the sisters, but they're kind of building up to that point.
Well, if you missed the first 5 minutes, you wouldn't actually know. Like,
yeah.
They would do the suicide note thing and you'd notice that he'd pocketed hers. But apart from that, like, he's pretty good at keeping it close to the vest. Yeah.
But they're building up to that kind of twist when he murders her. And I think like it only works if you really start to care about Shilpa Shetty. And I did. Like,
yeah, she's nice.
She really makes an impression in that first half of the film.
Yeah, so we should mention Johnny Lever because he actually is very important to the plot.
Nominated for Best Comic Actor.
Yeah. So he's the manservant at Cadgel and Shilpa Shetty's house. And him and the other servants have some dumb bits where... He's trying to nail a nail into the wall and it's the wrong direction, or there's a big rotating door in the house and he gets confused and lets some guy in.
He also always forgets to put like tea leaves in the tea. So
yeah,
he
or
just
lemonade in
hot,
the cups.
Hot water. Like he's terrible at his job and I didn't understand the comedy.
Yeah. And for some reason they play the Pink Panther theme a lot when he's on screen as well as the James Bond theme. Which is interesting because in Dar, there's another fairly important movie song we'll get to. But yeah, at one point at their engagement party, one of Shilpa Shetty's friends is calling the house to tell Cadgel something about her sister. And Shark obviously doesn't want this to happen. But Johnny Lever picks up the phone and he remembers something like, sister, tell Cadgel, don't remember. And then Shark distracts him by saying like, hey, can you go get me an ice cream? I need an ice cream right now. And that's how he convinces him. But later on he remembers it and it kind of spurs the cop into action.
Yeah, it's nice that they worked his his terrible memory into the plot in a way, so it wasn't just like a horrible gag throughout the film, but it really is...
It kicks the momentum of this movie in the nuts every single time.
Yeah, I otherwise really like this movie. We are generally not fans of Johnny Lieber, and I just think that his humor probably just doesn't translate well with us.
I don't know. It's that kind of four quadrant thing of you need something for the kids to like too.
Yeah.
And he's there to do goofy stuff and then kids will laugh at it. And then you get back to the actual good movie. And I don't know. I'm not a child. I don't need that kind of entertainment.
Yeah.
So yeah, he sucks. I don't think I've ever liked him. Not once.
Did you find it shocking to see Shah Rukh Khan just like murder his love interest midway through this film though?
No, because I got spoiled. But I think it's set up and shot in such a way that it is really interesting. And it actually, there's a parallel scene in Dar mm-hmm. where he's doing the, you know, she loves me not with a rose. And he's walking with his eyes closed along the top of a roof. So kind of interesting parallels there. But mm-hmm. yeah, I think it's shot in such a way that it's kind of Hitchcockian.
Sure.
Kind of, the effects that they use sort of look like something you would see in Vertigo. Mm-hmm. Of her falling and falling right into a big glass canopy that has yellow and red tiles just gives you some visual interest there. But yeah, I knew it was coming, but I didn't know exactly when and how he was going to do it. So
yeah, I had remembered reading about it years
probably in
ago.
The Anupama Chopra book.
Yeah, I believe in the Anupama Chopra book, but I like deliberately didn't pull out the book or like read up on these films again before we watched it, just because while I kind of knew the broad strokes, it's still nice to, you know, experience these things for mm-hmm. you know, with fresh eyes.
Or I mean, that must have brought the house down when it happened and no one had seen the movie before, right? Like that would have been a crazy twist.
Yeah, but we're also bringing our awareness and our understanding of these actors, our familiarity with these actors, where audiences at the time, Shah Rukh Khan was a different kind of actor for them. He was mm-hmm. He was a TV star mm-hmm. who was making the transition to film, and this was the first time anyone had seen Shilpa Shetty
and
on screen.
I'm still trying to remember the timeline, but I don't. Maybe he's gone to see his mother at that point. Like maybe not everyone would have caught on that he was the kid too.
Yeah, Rocky Gulzar is just kind of comatose for the whole film. Like she's practically catatonic, right?
Yeah, she's struck kind of catatonic after seeing her husband die. He drowns in a puddle, basically.
They don't reveal
awful.
That till later, which yeah. I think is smart.
I think they do it right after the interval, like Shilpa Shetty dies, and then we find out like what's going on.
Yeah, you don't entirely understand why he wants revenge on mm-hmm. Chopra. Their last name's Chopra, not Sharma.
Oh, he's Sharma, because then he takes over all the industries yeah. and names him Sharma. Yeah.
So you don't entirely understand why he wants revenge until later. Which I think is smart,
mm-hmm.
because the film kind of has to play, it has to play a bit with your allegiance, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's why it's so effective, because you both kind of love Shah Rukh Khan, and you know, he is ultimately an empathetic character, but he's also horrible mm-hmm. and nasty and just like he's has venom in him.
Plus he's doing a double role, which we've seen many, many times, but in this it's a double role with the intent to murder two girls in
the
family.
The character's playing a double role.
Yeah, but like
yeah.
we're used to seeing someone do like a quick change and
yeah.
turn into a different guy. So yeah. it's playing with that too.
It would have been interesting to see, because I was reading, I guess in the Hollywood version, Sean Young plays both sisters. And at one
She'd
point...
She'd be a bit older though.
Potentially.
Because she was in her 20s when Blade Runner came out in 82. So
yeah, I'm not quite sure.
It'd be a kind of a different scenario.
Yeah. And I guess at one point they were going to have Sri Devi play both of the sisters, and it was going to be a double role.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been interesting, I mm-hmm. think. Though, again, I really like Shilpa Shetty's performance. What did you think of Kajol?
She's good.
She falls in love with him very quickly. He just, like, explains what Bazigar means, and then suddenly, in her mind, she's off on a romantic adventure.
Well, she also likes the fact that he's a sexy race car driver.
Yeah.
Who barely, like, who gives her the secret of like, oh, I lost that race to your dad just so I could try and learn from him. And then, like, she's already in on it with him from day one.
They are daddy's girls.
Yeah, but, like, they already are sharing a cool secret right away. And he's a handsome race car driver who's also rich.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, yeah. Why wouldn't you?
What did you think of the songs here?
I thought they were really good, actually.
Yeah, they are.
There's some cool sort of synthy ones. The Bazigar song is fun.
Mm-hmm. I like the one, like the first one with him and Shilpa Shetty in love. That was fun.
Yeah, running around trees, basically.
Yeah.
It was good.
Yeah.
I think the songs in Dar are probably more impactful, definitely. But these are, there's really good songs, actually.
Well, I mean, it's interesting because on my other podcast that I do called Trash Art in the Movies, we always kind of have a high art film and a low art film. And here we have Abbas Mustan, you know, famous for like Race and Race 2, and Yash Chopra. And I think we do have a kind of an interesting mix of kind of I don't want to say like that Abbas Mustan necessarily feel like trashy or low art directors.
I wouldn't say that Yash Chopra is necessarily high art too. Like something like Itifak is pretty grimy.
Yeah, but I think we have two kind of really different sensibilities here. Again, you talk about those the kind of giallo aesthetics that we see in Bazigar, and while we do see some of that in Dar, it feels a bit different.
Because it's in a big mansion and everyone has nice clothes on.
Yeah. Abbas Mustan, we've been told that we should do an episode about them. It was one of Rajat Dixit's
suggestions.
I would like to do an episode about Abbas Mustan because I like this film a lot.
And Race
movies. Love Race.
The first two,
yes. So I think it would be fun because I think they have maybe kind of like Hollywood sensibilities from what I understand and what I've seen. But I think they just like, they know how to pull off a twist.
They're not exactly Neville Dean and Taylor, but I think they are a bit more active. Like their movies are a lot more propulsive than maybe Yash Chopra is sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, and again, like, full of unexpected twists from what I've seen. So
definitely the Race movies.
I am interested in exploring that suggestion.
Maybe they're like Jerry Bruckheimer types.
Maybe. I'm interested in exploring that suggestion from Rajat Dixit about doing an episode on
Abbas
Mustan.
Yeah, just gotta track him down, but I would happily do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so overall, we like this film.
We gotta talk about
Shark. Yeah, I guess we haven't talked about his performance too much. It's very good.
Yeah.
He really knows how to like bring that intensity to his eyes.
He's a psycho.
And also like fill
them
with rage.
He's so good at just I'm going to go murder this photographer now. Or I'm going to murder this girl who's a friend of Shilpa Shetty. He's like, no big deal. I'm just completely impassive and cold.
Yeah, he's totally...
He looks like the Terminator, basically. Just like got the glasses on too.
He's totally believable as like a cute boy you would fall in love with, but also as a psychopath.
Yeah.
It's a very good performance. He won Best Actor.
Yeah.
What else can we say?
Over himself in Dar, where I think he does a lot more acting.
He was not nominated for Best Actor in Dar.
Oh.
Sunny Dale was nominated for Best Actor in Dar.
Oh, well, no. Yeah, he definitely beat Sunny Dale. Sunny Dale did not try that hard. It's kind of like The Talented Mr. Ripley.
Yeah.
Because he's able to infiltrate social situations, and he's still handsome and stuff, too.
A version of The Talented Mr. Ripley starring Shah Rukh Khan, that would be incredible.
90s Shah Rukh Khan, yeah.
I mean, or a contemporary Shah Rukh Khan.
It's kind of there. Like, this is basically what that would
be
like,
though. The Ripley novels, like, went on for a really long time.
Yeah.
There's, like, old Ripley novels. I've never read one. I've never read any Patricia Highsmith. I'm not very literary.
I think I just read one. But this would be... Yeah. This is exactly what that character would be like, though.
Yes.
Just a calculating machine who infiltrates social situations and kind of plays people's fears off of each other and their insecurities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good film. I like it.
I would happily watch it again right now.
Yeah. You can. It's on Amazon Prime.
Great. You can give Jeff Bozo another buck or two.
All right. Well, that brings
I wish he stayed in space.
That brings us to our interval. What are we listening to, Matt?
We are listening to a song we heard like 100 times in Dar, and that is Jadu Teri Nazar. Jadu Teri Nazar. This episode is brought to you by Taproot Edmonton, which publishes curiosity-driven stories, topical newsletters, and locally focused podcasts, all in the service of informing Edmontonians about their community. Want to start your day informed? Check out The Pulse, Taproot's new daily news briefing. The Pulse tells you what you need to know about Edmonton every weekday morning. You'll get short, informative updates about what's happening at City Hall, plus coverage of business, tech, food, the arts, and more. You'll also get a little bit of whimsy from features such as A Moment in History, Chart of the Week, and the Friday Podcast Pick. And it's free! Sign up today at taprootedmonton.ca/pulse. That's taprootedmonton.ca/pulse. With PodPower, our sponsors are making it possible for us to amplify the voices of Albertans and Alberta podcasters. This episode, Edmonton Community Foundation is helping us give a PodPower shout-out to Bookwomen. Bookwomen is a podcast about editing, publishing, and writing Indigenous stories. Three Métis librarians representing nations from across the homeland aim to inspire Indigenous peoples to share their stories in whatever form that they enjoy. Guests include Indigenous storytellers from diverse mediums like podcasting, burlesque, comics, books, social media, film, music, and everything in between. You can listen and find out more at bookwomenpodcast.ca.
That was Jadu Terry Nazar from Dar.
You'll hear this song quite a few times over the course of the film, right at the beginning.
Yes, and we are now going to discuss the film Dar.
Okay, I have a question for you about Dar. Okay. This is the very first thing that happens in the movie.
Oh, okay. I was going to say it has nothing to do with the Hollywood film Fear, which came out after Dar, but Dar does mean fear.
Yeah. We see Juhi Chawla right at the beginning of the movie kind of hear a song that she thinks is probably Sunny Deol singing. And she runs around in the countryside, ends up getting soaked in a rainstorm, and then presumably Shahrukh sees her, leaves a harmonica there. Had he known about her at all before this point? Do we think this is the very first time he's ever seen her?
No.
Because it's unclear.
Because later on it's established that...
They went to school together. But is that when... is that scene from them at school?
I believe so, yes. It's the end of the school year.
Yeah, so it's kind of like a little bit of a flashback.
Yeah.
At the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, well, because then she returns home.
Yeah, but it's another, in medias res opening that doesn't explain anything, but you get it.
Yeah.
You get the whole premise of the movie right there, because he's creepy.
Sure. Yeah. So as we mentioned, Dar means fear. The film came out in 1993, same year as Bazigar, directed by Yash Chopra, starring Shah Rukh Khan, Juhi Chawla, Sunny Deol, Anupam Kher, Tanvi Azmi, and Dilip Tahil again.
This is a really good cast.
It's an excellent cast. This was the third highest grossing film of 1993. You'll remember that Bazigar was the fourth highest grossing film.
Not bad.
Not bad. So it's interesting that Bazigar comes out, it's a huge success, and then the next film that Shah Rukh Khan is in, that is in kind of a similar vein to Bazigar, comes out and ends up being even bigger box office wise.
He must have felt pretty good after that year.
I'm sure he was on top of the world. I'm sure he was the king of the world to James Cameron's style.
Mm-hmm.
It won the National Film Award for Best Popular Film Providing Wholesome Entertainment, which does kind of make...
Usually my favorite award, but this one,
does
I don't
kind
know.
Of make me scratch my head.
I don't know if it's quite as wholesome as maybe the judges thought.
Yeah, I'm not convinced this is as wholesome as maybe the National Film Awards think it is.
Yeah.
And I know that, that's just really the...
It has a good pedigree.
Yeah. And that's just really, the popular film award, but, again, wholesome entertainment... maybe not. It was also nominated for 10 Film Four Awards, like Bazigar, including Best Film, Best Director, Best Actress, Best Actor, but for Sunny Deol.
Yeah.
And Best Villain.
Sure, okay. Did he win Best Villain?
No, he did not win Best Villain.
Damn, that must have been a really good one.
Yeah.
Who won then? Because he is very good at this.
Well, I'll look it up in a second. It won Best Cinematographer and Best Comic Actor for Anupam Kher. So Anupam Kher beat out Johnny Lever.
Good. His character was actually very funny because he's able to work cricket.
Sister.
Yeah, he's able to work cricket into every single conversation in the movie, even though his sister, a little bit difficult to tell actually, because they... don't really mention it that well, but we figured it out eventually.
Yeah.
That
well, we might not be picking up on clues the way an Indian audience
yeah, exactly.
would.
But he's like, oh, I wish I could hit a six right off of that guy's head. Anyway, I hope that the stalker doesn't get you, my sister.
Best villain went to Paresh Rawal for Sir. I know nothing about that film. And the other film that year that was very big for Shah Rukh Khan, that he won, that won Best Film, the Best Film Critics Award, and he won Best Actor Critics, was Kabhi Haan Kabhi Na.
Okay, yeah, we've seen that one around.
Whoever was yelling at me with their headphones on, I looked it up.
Yeah. No, find something else to yell about.
Now I know. Oh, there's always things to yell at me about. So the plot of this is fairly straightforward.
Well, I already mentioned the beginning, but then an homage to Under Siege happens. You have to get into this because this is where the other Hollywood song comes up.
Sure. Why don't you tell us a bit about that, and then I will tell you the basic plot. But first, okay. first set this up.
We get this meat creep. I guess you'd call it it's not a meat cute, it's a meat creep. Then we find out that a prominent minister's daughter has been kidnapped by terrorists on a yacht, and only one man can be sent into this, Sunny Deal, who, so they roll, like, his commando team rolls up to the yacht in broad daylight. Then he gets out and gets into like a one-man submarine and then kind of toodles over to the yacht and then goes on there and just solid snakes his way through everybody on board.
Meanwhile, the theme from Top Gun's playing.
Yeah, the theme from Top Gun is playing after he gets a medal for being the king of the Navy SEALs, or I think he's a commando. He's like a royal commando or something. A marine commando, that's his rank. Mm-hmm. But like, out of nowhere this happens. And then we get into a domestic drama for a while, and then some other crazy stuff happens.
Yeah, but it is established that Sunnydale is
a badass.
He's a badass, he's in the military, and he's engaged to Juhi Chawla. But unbeknownst to Juhi Chawla, she has become the object of absolute obsession of Shah Rukh Khan, and he's stalking her. Mm-hmm. And he's not just stalking her, but he is starting to essentially terrorize her, call her in the middle of the night and say upsetting things about how if she doesn't leave Sunnydale, bad things are going to happen. And Juhi Chawla gets understandably upset, and bad things do start happening. Mm-hmm. Sunnydale is shot at, and there starts to be
a great scene too.
Serious risks to both her safety and her fiance's safety,
because that ends up with a foot chase that probably goes on for 10 minutes, and they are careening around the streets and bouncing off things, and Sunnydale is just close enough to catch him, and then he gets hit by a car.
Yeah,
so it's a mystery who's doing this. He's already met Rahul. Mm-hmm. Because Rahul is his commanding officer's son.
Yes.
So they've met kind of socially before, and Rahul is having a great time kind of playing both sides of this and messing with everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and when we see Rahul kind of by himself, he's often talking on the phone to his mother, but it is revealed to us that his mother actually died many years ago.
In a car crash.
In an accident.
Very Norman Batesy.
Yes. Yes, this is very Norman Bates. So he continues to threaten Juhi Chawla and Sunnydale. And eventually,
he says that he will go to their holy party and rub stuff on her face.
Yes. And eventually, Sunnydale gets seriously injured. And Juhi Chawla gets so frustrated by this that they decide to get married.
Yeah, they elope, essentially.
They elope. And then through some misdirection, Sunnydale pretends that they're going to go on their honeymoon in Goa, knowing that the stalker will figure out where they're going and follow them there. But they actually go, guess where, Matt? This is a Yash Chopra movie. Guess where?
They go to Switzerland.
They go to Switzerland.
Which does not have extradition from India. So if you kill them there, it's not a problem.
So the whole...
Probably? I don't know. I haven't looked it up.
The whole second half of the film takes place in Switzerland. Rahul obviously does eventually figure out where they are.
By worming his way into Anupam Kher's household, essentially.
And when he gets to Switzerland, he inserts himself into Sunnydale and Juhi Chawla's honeymoon as their friend.
They get along pretty well, actually.
Yeah, Juhi Chawla remembers him from school, and he's an actual friend of Sunnydale's. And unbeknownst to them, they think the stalker back in India has committed suicide.
Yeah, he frames another guy, basically.
Unbeknownst to them, he is right under their nose. So that's the plot. This is a very intense film, full of some incredible visuals, some really strong performances at the center of it. I loved it, Matt. This was so good.
I could see that if you were a stutterer, you might not like this movie, because it's one of those ones that kind of links having a speech conditioned with being crazy.
Yes, and that is probably my one complaint about it.
But in the 90s, people didn't really think about that. You would see that in... Oh, you saw that in Dreamcatcher, the Stephen King book that I think they made a movie in the early 2000s. And it's like, yeah, this guy's... Oh, and the Trash Can Man in The Stand.
Yeah.
Like, he has a speech condition and he's crazy. So
stuttering is definitely one of those things that in pop culture for a very long time was coded as, like, creepy and, yeah. You know, again, like... negative characters, villains.
But I think
stutter.
He only does it when he says Kieran too, right?
It really comes out when he says Kieran.
Yeah.
This performance of Shahrukh Khan is absolutely incredible.
His eyes are
so good.
So big.
Yeah, if I thought like his eye acting in Bazigar was impressive, this is like a whole other level. And this role is so good. When he kind of puts on airs and tries to pretend to be, you know, like he fits in with everyone else. When
he's still creepy.
He's so creepy. And you just kind of see that, like, yeah, like you said, like that Norman Bates aspect of him. Or
this guy would rub anyone wrong. Like, there's no way that anyone would be able to deal with him that long.
Yeah. Or like Christian Bale in American Psycho. Just like the way that, like, you know, when
he's a little off.
Yeah, he's a little off, but like, you don't really think much about it. But then kind of when you see the explosive energy when he's like by himself stewing in his obsession. Like
in his lair full of pictures of Jui Chawla.
It's totally believable that this is the same guy. Like that the same guy that's kind of like sitting down and having a drink with Sunnydale in Switzerland and just being like, a guy's guy is also this unbelievable creep. Like it's just it's such a well-rounded and dynamic performance. There is so much intensity, and while he is a creep through and through the entire film,
I think you feel bad for him a little bit.
You feel bad for him, like the scene where Jui Chawla starts to say like, oh, we all knew he had a crush on someone in college and he would never say who it was, like, you know, like she kind of feels sorry when he says like, oh, she's gotten married now.
And I'm, well, then he's like, and I'm planning on killing her husband. And Sunnydale's like, good plan, dude.
Yeah, it's, this is such a good performance. You can totally see like, how, I can't imagine how exciting and electrifying this must have been
see
in theaters when it came out in 1993.
It's like, also very interesting that he does the two creepy sort of romantic roles. And then goes on to do DDLJ. Like, he did it backwards. Because usually I think he would probably be a romantic hero and then try and subvert that. But he subverted it before he even really did it.
And there's another film that he does right after these two. Where he's also a villain. We couldn't find it available, unfortunately. But it's Anjom. But yeah, he really does, like...
He subverts the
trope. Yeah.
Because he's the king of romance, but he starts off by being like a broken, creepy romance.
Yeah, he subverts the romantic hero before he even officially becomes the romantic hero.
Yeah, I think that's cool.
Yeah. What do you think of Jui Chawla? She's fantastic.
Yeah.
So good.
There's a bit at the end when him and Sunnydale are fighting on a boat.
Yeah.
And she's like, kill him! Kill him! And you get like, oh yeah. Like... this is not the sort of thing where she thinks that he can be redeemed. Because in most Bollywood movies, in a scene like that, the female lead would probably be asked to have a little bit of kindness and sympathy.
But
at that point, she's just had her life screwed over so much that she's just like, kill him.
She's just been so terrorized.
And she gets that crazy eyes too, because she needs him gone.
Yeah. No,
she's great.
I think this could easily be, I don't know, a bit of a thankless role because it is the victim. But I think Jui Chawla brings a lot of excitement to this role. Like, she is, I think you really...
She's the final girl of the movie.
She is the final girl of the movie. But I think you really buy, you know, the kind of romance with her and Sunnydale. Because she's pulling it along.
Yeah, exactly.
And that juxtaposition between kind of this bright, bubbly girl who has her life ahead of her. But is dealing with this horrible situation that, you know...
She's Laurie Stroud, basically.
Yeah, and I don't know. I had an interesting reaction to this film because I remember what it was like to have weird boys following me around.
Mm-hmm.
I would never say I had a stalker. That is a very serious and I think terrifying thing that happens to many women and men. But I, you know, definitely had this creepy boy follow me around in, or he was creepy to me in junior high.
He was creepy to everybody.
In junior high.
That's the one I'm thinking of.
In junior high and high school. And it just kind of like, it makes you feel very uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And I also thought it was interesting that, you know, he's playing this stalker character here. And then so many of the kind of like romantic mm-hmm. roles that he would go on to do, people accuse of his behavior and being very stalkerish.
And most Bollywood heroes at the time were essentially like maybe a shade or two away yeah. from Rahul. Like he's commenting on the industry.
Yeah.
Because even in the 70s and 80s, that's what it was like. Just yeah. like, oh yeah, just beat her into submission, essentially, and then she'll marry you. And you still yeah. see that nowadays.
And I think you do empathize with the character, but he's never redeemed. And I like that.
No.
I think that's smart.
I think there might be 1 or 2 seconds near the end where he's just like, what did I do?
Yeah.
But not long.
Not long. The songs here are incredible.
Yeah.
I love the scene with Joey Chawla and Sunnydale when he's kind of showing the new apartment that he's bought, and then she like opens the door and runs out into Switzerland. And yeah. this is before the film actually officially goes to Switzerland.
And it's always like, okay, shut the door. It's time to make out.
Yeah, I think that's a great scene. I think that opening song where Rahul is following her around is great. I think when Rahul kind of fantasizes about the romance
that's the best one
he would have with Joey Chawla. Yeah.
Because his fantasy is a Yash Chopra like dance sequence.
Oh yeah.
So it's like it's the same as what you would see in any other Bollywood movie. Like
yeah.
you're supposed to take this literally, but in this it's horrifying because you know that his psyche is warped and yeah. it's being portrayed the same way that we would get in any other movie. It's really good.
And when she goes like full sexy, like kind of
that was good too.
Dancing like Sri Devi.
In
like,
the water, yeah.
Very obviously referencing past Sri Devi Yash Chopra performances. She looks incredible. Fantastic.
Rahul's like very horny.
Yeah, yeah. The music in this is great. That these songs just like look like just these sequences look incredible. I loved this movie. I just, yeah.
It's really good. Didn't have Johnny Lever in it.
No. You actually enjoyed the humor that yeah. Anupam Kher brought.
Because he wasn't just stupid.
It was
just a weird guy who loves cricket.
The holy dance scene is really fun, too. And then
very menacing.
Very menacing, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It never stops being menacing. Like, you often find in movies like this, like Gajini, for instance, which is this, you know, revenge movie. But it also just has an hour and a half long romantic comedy in the middle that just forgets about the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
This you never forget.
Yeah.
Like there's romance happening, but also it's menacing. You're never let off the hook. Even the part that seems the most romantic is actually the most creepy.
It's shot really well. And I'm glad we've seen Itifak because, you know, like Yash Chopra, I often see discussions around him really centered around his kind of his interest in romance,
mm-hmm.
but he has those thriller instincts. He has those kind of like the way that he shoots the stalking is so well done.
Yeah, because
like you said, you get this kind of like
POV shot.
Yeah, these point of view shots that follow,
and then you get another one where he's kind of drunk, and it's like before they even had that camera rig that would look at a person while they run around.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of like a camera maybe on a skateboard behind. And he's running towards it in like a fisheye lens.
Yeah, it's just yeah. I think there's a lot of inventiveness with this.
It's that Itifak sort of artificiality kind of being put in place. Like remember when
mm-hmm.
the court and it's all done in shadow play and yeah. stuff. It's that sort of thing.
You get
being
that with
used.
The boat at the end too, because like yeah. they're in the middle of a storm and it's just like everything around them gets completely black. And I mean, it's clearly
shot on a
pool. Set, yeah, like on a pool or something, but. It's just like,
it works.
It's so stormy and the intensity just, yeah. It's a great movie. Great movie. Have you heard about this film, Dar?
They're both really good. Watch them. If you got a spare 6 hours, You could watch them.
So
I think they both earned the runtime too.
Yeah.
There was maybe one or two songs in Dar I would have cut. I would have cut the...
Really?
I would have cut the After They Elope sort of marriage song.
Oh.
Because I thought that was too happy. And also, I feel like the story makes a bit more sense if they don't have a big to-do.
And you'd cut out Johnny Lever and Bazigar.
Yeah.
Other than the need to have him exist for the plot. But you don't really need...
You can have someone else do that.
Yeah, you don't really need to have that as character.
You don't need half an hour of him dicking around.
You can just have a character who, like...
Forgets.
Didn't... You could have the telephone call be garbled.
Yeah, or like a maid or somebody.
Yeah.
She gets distracted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But so, Dar, it's just that one song, and I kind of feel like they probably would try and keep that wedding a bit more low-key rather than inviting 40 bridesmaids over to have a big party.
I thought it was fun.
It's fun, but it kind of took me out of the story for a minute.
Yeah. So if you put yourself in 1993, are you excited to see more Shah Rukh Khan films?
Yeah, I want him to be in a movie called Diwale in like 2015 or so.
No, you don't. Diwale...
And it's like a big disappointment, and he's like a... He runs a mechanics shop in Goa and fights crime. That's what I want. I want a weird career path that doesn't make any sense.
I would like to see more films with him and Jui Chawla.
Yeah.
They were a big Jodi back in the 90s. We talk a lot about Shah Rukh Khan and Kajol, but they also made a number of films together, and I think they... I'd like maybe to see a happier romance between the two of them. So I think that would be, I don't know, if people are interested in hearing an episode there. I think his filmography is relatively accessible because he kind of owns a lot of it and has made it accessible.
And it's either on Netflix or Prime.
Yeah.
Because it was on Netflix
and
for a long time.
He's done so much with Yash Raj. I mean, we didn't even say that like this was his first film with Yash Raj, a studio that he would continue to work with. So, and Yash Raj films tend to be relatively accessible.
Mm-hmm.
If people are interested in more vintage Shah Rukh Khan,
we'll watch it.
Let us know.
I don't think I've actively disliked a movie he was in ever.
Well, Matt, you've never seen Zero.
Okay.
And with the news, you know what? With the news of Jeff Bezos going into space, I have considered if we should do an episode about people going into space. But then I've realized I would have to rewatch Zero. And I don't know if I'm prepared to do that. I'm going to need a lot of drinks to rewatch Zero. But luckily, that is not the topic of our next episode.
What is the topic of our next episode?
We are going to be discussing boxing films.
Boxing the sport that it translates the best to film or baseball? Because they both have a lot of great movies attached to them.
They do.
Or maybe field hockey.
Field hockey, cricket.
Cricket has some good ones, but I think it's either baseball or boxing, right?
I like basketball movies quite a bit. I love White Men Can't Jump. I love Love and Basketball. You know, like for someone who doesn't particularly like sports, I really like sports movies.
But boxing has got to be up there.
Boxing is up there. Although that being said, I don't like Raging Bull. Is that it? Tufan is out on Amazon Prime. It is not a biopic from what I understand.
Fire and Akhtar is absolutely yoked.
Yeah, I mistakenly thought it was. So we're going to be discussing It and Mukabaz, which I absolutely adore.
Mukabaz ruled.
And we're breaking the rules a little bit. We're going to be discussing a South Indian film, Salakados. So we're going to be discussing like the Hindi language version of it.
We haven't done this since The House Next Door, I think.
Yeah, it's been a while. It was released in Tamil and Hindi. So we are stretching the rules because it is a South Indian film. But
we've already watched a lot of boxing movies.
The other boxing films we've either already discussed. So we've already discussed Mary Kom. Or I could not get a hold of. I tried to get Apne and I couldn't find it. I looked at Mithun Chakraborty's Boxer. Couldn't really find it. So we're bending the rules a bit. And also I've heard some good things about this. It has our Madhavan, who people love.
I mean, every time a Southern movie comes out, we're told to watch it. So we're finally doing it. Are you happy? This is what you wanted.
All right. So that will be in 2 weeks. In the meantime, Matt, how can people keep up with the show?
At BollywoodPod on Twitter, at Matt_BOWES, at Aaron E. Fraser, Tumblr.com/BollywoodsForLovers, Facebook.com/BollywoodsForLovers, rate and review on your favorite platform. Apple Podcasts is apparently being a huge pain in the ass for lots of people right now, so If you leave a review and we don't notice it there even, let us know. And if this episode is showing up late there, it's Tim Apple's fault. So, yeah, please rate a review because you can actually get a real Biffle point. We'll send it to you in the mail.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. And, yeah.
You can listen to my other show while you're rating and reviewing us on Apple Podcasts. You can just, like, also look it up and download it. It's called Trash Rent Movies. I do it with Paul Matwichak. We just did an episode on Donnie Darko and Harvey.
Yeah.
Yeah. On films about people talking to imaginary rabbits, maybe. Yes, there are more than one film.
I would almost say that the one influenced the other.
Apparently it didn't.
Hmm.
Apparently, like, Richard Kelly swears he'd never seen Harvey. Anyways.
I think that's bullshit.
I don't know. They are, like, oddly in tune with one another. We also want to thank Becca Dalkey for our artwork. You could have a piece of that artwork if you leave us a review and get a Biffle point.
I don't think Tuffy would get obsessed with someone and try and kill them on a boat. Do you?
No.
Seems unlikely.
I don't think. We're done!
Yep. Bye.
If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now everything's on sale during our Memorial Day event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses for a limited time. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.